This is your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask, with your host, Dr. Judith Briles. On the show today, you'll find out where book publishing is going and how to take advantage of it. How to identify and avoid publishing predators. What opportunities are emerging as the book trade evolves in new forms. How to avoid losing money, and much, much more. Join us now as a variety of publishing pros will deliver insights and strategies to take the author to the next level of publishing. It's your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. Brought to you by Author U and The Book Shepherd. And now, here's your host, Dr. Judith Briles.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to this week's podcast for your author success with the Author U, your guide to book publishing show. As you listen in, you will get a variety of ahas, insights, tips, and how-tos for your author, publishing, and book marketing success. I always love to kick off our shows with a quote from my book, Snappy, Sassy, Salty Success for Authors and Writers, and this certainly flows into what we're talking about today, and it is simply this. If I'm going to be successful, author, it's up to me, starting now. So starting now brings on our amazing guest. I've known Jamie Kuhn for, gosh, it seems like a gazillion years. He was a prior book client. When his book launched, it became authored as an international bestseller that became the number one book in all of Amazon's number one 34 categories simultaneously, with over 50,000 downloads in just 3 days. He's the host of his own show, The Conscious Millionaire Show, now in its 10th year with thousands of episodes heard by millions worldwide. JB holds graduate degrees in three areas, law, business, and psychology. And I do want to welcome you to JB Crum, because what we're going to talk about is your author success. And it all starts with the magic word, your mindset. Hi, JB. How are you?
Hey, Judith. Well, yeah. And it's kind of cool because we only live about 10 miles apart. So I come over to your house and it's just wonderful to hang out. And here we're going to hang out together again today. So I want to say a big hello. Being a podcaster, I think podcasting is the best thing that ever happened on the planet because we get to get out a message that makes a difference to other people, and we get to do it in a big way, and we get to influence people to get the success they want.
Yeah, and what's cool about podcasting is once people discover you and know what it's about, that they can listen to you anytime, any day it's convenient for them, on our replays, which I think is fabulous. So
absolutely. My personal motto is trust perfect timing. That's been my motto for over 30 years. And podcasting is a perfect example, because whenever you're listening to this is the right moment for you to listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, JV, you know, I do a lot of book signings and things. I have a great partnership with the Barnes & Noble bookstores here in Colorado. And what's very cool is you hear people when you ask them, how do you listen to books? And it, you know, print still is the dominant. That's not going to go away. But you hear more and more people say, I need to listen. I like audio only, where I'm hearing more and more of that. And of course, that opens up the whole umbrella of podcasting and listening. And if you see people walking around or running around or just driving around, they're listening to something. Why not a podcast? That's the way I look at it. So with that said, let's talk about one of the things that I know you're passionate about, and I know you're working on some new things on that, and that's the whole mentality and the mindset of what creates author, book publishing, book marketing, book writing success. So I know that you have multiple areas that you kind of focus on, and I'd love to just focus this show on those seven elementary, crucial elements of developing the ultimate mindset for success. You game for it?
Absolutely. And Judith, I'm writing my next book, as we've talked about, on the seven, I call them the seven performance mindsets. So how you're going to perform at your highest level so you can achieve your biggest results. And it all starts with you. It starts with the inner game, and then it goes into strategy and execution. So those are also important. I want to point that out. It isn't just changing your mindset, but if you don't change your performance mindset, you're never going to have the right strategies or executions or get the big results that you want. And as an author, one of the things that I share is I know, and you know, because you worked with me, the amount of work you go into creating a book that comes from your soul and your heart. And, you know, it's that message that you want to get out there. But folks, this is work. And if you're going to do that work, you might as well do it at the highest level and then get the biggest success out of it.
Well, and I absolutely so believe that, so believe that it going back to what I said, if it's to be, it's up to me. So what's your mindset? And that where we're going today is really to delve into those, to expand those, to maybe open up a few windows that you hadn't tweaked or thought about. Because mindset is becoming kind of a... maybe we'll say trendy. JV, what do you think? It's really, I'm hearing it more and more. What do you think?
Well, I think that mindset, one of the reasons I focus on performance is it gets people's attention. They go, well, I do want to perform at a higher level. If I only say the word mindset, this is what I typically get as a coach, as a trainer, a guide for people, entrepreneurs. I read the book on that. Well, mindset isn't about information. In fact, I don't think much of success is about information by itself. I think it's about transformation. And so you can go read the book on mindset, but until you've gone through some exercises, and I think it'd be great to give out a couple of formulas. I have seven performance mindsets, and I've created formulas for each one that I use with my clients. So I'm thinking the identity one, when we get to that, is a great one to give out the formula and really talk about that, because if you want to shift your identity, it's about transforming to another level. And I found that identity, but I want to talk about abundance first, but identity is so critical, because you've got to die to your old identity and embrace a whole new identity if you want to perform at a higher level. And if you really want to bring out that inner voice in you at a higher level, you know, I'll just say before we get to abundance that when I was writing my book, and my friends all thought it was funny because they weren't writing books, mind you, that I would reach these blocks where I didn't think I had anything to say. I couldn't think of a single word. And my friend said, "You can't shut up." I go, "Yeah, but you try to write a book and then you run into all those blocks. Like you just think, oh my God, I'm not authentic. I'm not real. Nobody's going to want to read this." I went through all of those. And it's
I saw you go through all those.
I know, and you used the word that was correct. You're trying to be perfect, and you were right. I was trying to be perfect because I was afraid not to be perfect, and it had nothing to do with being perfect. You know, but I think most authors go through that.
They do, and I think authors, JV just said something that was really a golden nugget. Trying to be perfect. When you are trying to be perfect, you end up self-sabotaging yourself instead of letting just your ideas flow throughout, and then you can cherry pick and go through them and tweak and put them together. So going back to the word authentic, the authentic you comes out, because I think sometimes when we try to be perfecto, we let too many outside influences come in and forget about who we are. That's my two bits.
I totally agree, Judith. And I think that happens when we're attempting to be the person we think other people want. And that happens in marketing a lot, right? Is that, they want to hear these words. Well, what about if you just said the words that were true for you and attracted the people who liked those? Wouldn't that be a better person to have as a client or buying your products? Is it the people who actually like the truth that you're bringing forth? But I want to make clear that these seven performance mindsets, think of them as a circle. We just are going to talk about them linearly, but it's not that this one and then this one and then this one, they're all intertwined. And when you rise up in one area of performance mindset, you're influencing all the others and rising them up as well. But let's talk about abundance, because what I have found, and in this next book that I'm writing, I was thinking I was going to take this one sentence and put it on one page, and I'm now thinking I'm going to put it on two pages facing each other. And that is, none of your beliefs are true. And when we come to abundance in this civilization that we're all human beings, from the beginning of our civilization, I think we've made a very inaccurate assumption. And that is the assumption that life is built on scarcity. There's not enough of this. There's not enough of that. I have to be more of this. The truth is, every belief system we create is based on scarcity. Abundance, and this is where most people get it wrong, everything that I personally have read about abundance in mindset kind of books is that you've got to change your belief. I'm here to tell you it isn't changing your belief. This is the profound shift that is necessary. You simply step into the experience that reality is abundant. And the moment you step into that, it's no longer a belief system. It's all of a sudden you realizing abundance is actually your nature. Abundance is all around you. Abundance is flowing through you. And when you just let yourself sit in that present moment of abundance, all of a sudden you see yourself, you see life, you see your book, you see the readers in a very different light, because you're experiencing the abundance of all those people who are coming, which is how my book became number one on Amazon and in 34 categories at the same time.
Hold that thought, because we're going to take our first break. But that nugget, stop or step into the belief that life is abundant. This is what I want you to exit with, because life is abundant. We'll be right back with J.B. Crumb.
This is your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. With your host, Dr. Judith Briles. And we'll be right back with more great information right after these.
Is there a book in you? Or another? Author U shows you how to create, develop, and publish your book without being hoodwinked. If you already have a book out, you will find a supportive and brainstorming community that is connected and creative, no matter where you live. Author U brings in national experts for its book camps and annual Author U Extravaganza. It has regular meetings and delivers webinars for its members on timely topics. Through Author U's extensive network, members enjoy exclusive benefits, including significant discounts for a variety of services necessary to publishing. Author U is the premier authoring resource in the country, creating community, education, guidance, vision, and success for the serious author. If you want to create a book that has pizzazz, punch, and panache, Author U is for you. Timely author and publishing tips and articles are posted on its social media platforms, and it is free. Discover Author U, where authors go to become seriously successful. Join Author U today at authoru.org.
Welcome back to Your Guide to Book Publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. If you want to write and publish a book, if you want to be successful as an author, Your Guide to Book Publishing, Everything You Want to Know But Didn't Know What to Ask, is for you. Stay tuned and you'll hear about statistics, scenarios, and strategies on what to do now to get you published. So let's get back to the show. And here again is your host, Dr. Judith Briles.
With me is J.B. Crumb. He's the visionary of theconsciousmillionaire.com concept and website. So check him out there. But we went into closed our first segment where he was introducing step one, really, of his seven steps for your performance mindsets. And it was all about abundance. And I loved it when he said, stop thinking life is about built on scarcity. You've got to step into feeling that life is abundant. And I certainly feel that way, JB. So let's circle back and kiss on this a little bit more before we go to your next mindset step.
Sure, absolutely. So I think, you know, this is really one of the places you've probably seen the movie The Secret, The Law of Abundance, probably are familiar with that kind of material. So I just want to borrow from that the idea of vibrational frequency. When we step into abundance, and this is why it's not a belief, it's an experience. You're stepping into a field of abundance and you vibrate differently and you fill with positive emotions because it is a feeling. You probably feel deep joy. You probably get all kinds of optimism about what's going to be possible in your life. And therefore, you take different actions, you see things differently, your whole day is different. In fact, all of my performance mindsets are about shifting your day, so you have a very different experience of your day. But it really does start with experiencing your day as abundant. And the moment you do that, guess what? You are connecting with the abundant field that's all around you and the abundant possibilities. And that's why abundance is so critical. And in writing a book, I know what it's like. You know, you have these inner fears like, oh, maybe nobody's going to read it. Or maybe I was the only person who had that fear. But, you know, nobody's going to read it. They might not like it. It's not going to be popular. You know, my books won awards and it became the number one book on Amazon. But while I was writing it, I had lots of days where I was going, oh, man. This is a lot of work. Is it actually going to produce something? And then I had to step into abundance and just honestly allow the words to flow through me onto the page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I live them with you. I know.
Yeah. I really said my ego kind of moved to the left and all of a sudden I'd be writing stuff and I'd read it and I'd go, wow, that's pretty good. But I didn't know what I was going to write. That's when I was in another mind, part of the performance mindset, being in flow. When you're in flow, all of a sudden, everything just starts happening the way it's supposed to. And when you're writing in flow, you start writing stuff that just feels magical.
Mm-hmm. I love that you've brought this up because this is parallels the conversation I had with my fiction writing partner for our secret series, using the secret word. But the next one we're writing is Secret Rise. And Brian has been trying to be so detailed. And I said, just stop it. You and I are just going to get together and share it. And we're just going to start writing. Trust the process. Let it flow. Because I think that when you try to be so detailed and organized, you forget about the joy factor. You forget about the magic coming in when you're more open-minded and you let what-ifs become your possibility versus must-haves. You know, that's kind of my two bits in writing.
Well, absolutely. I want to shift, if we can, to the second one, which is identity. And I want to give you a formula. I want to go through the formula. So I have a formula for accessing, and I want you to know that it's not one level, but it's infinite levels. And as you access higher levels of your mind, you are also connecting to that energetic conscious field that's all around us. And what's in that field that's so important to you is information. It is the highest vibrational information. It's the most inspirational. It's where all of the businesses that are being disruptive, that's really where it comes from. It's where the iPhone came from. It's where the Ninth Symphony for Beethoven. It's where, you know, Mahatma Gandhi in that you're going to have nonviolent resistance. All those visionary ideas, which, by the way, is another one of the performance mindsets, come from there. But let's talk about identity, because I find when people shift their identity upwardly, I do sessions with them, that they start out with a high goal for, let's say, the next 12 months, a result that they want. when I shift their identity upward, now they're literally vibrating at the same level as that big outcome. And they oftentimes go, oh, I could do more. And I go, that's right, you could. You want to double it? Right? So here's the formula. I want you to write it down. Who must, underline the word must. I'm going to come back to that. I become in order to achieve X. So X is always whatever result you want in Y time. So that's the Y period. So maybe it's in the next 12 months and you want to achieve, maybe your book's done or maybe your book becomes a bestseller, whatever it is. Let's come back to must. I have 9 years of NLP, and what I want you to take from that is I pay a great deal of attention to individual words, their meanings, their vibrations. And when I'm working with clients, I'll just have them talk to me and then I'll go, oh, there's the word. I'll know the word. It just jumps out to me. And I want you to say that sentence again and change that one word. And all of a sudden everything opens up. I want it to open up for you. So here's the reason must is so important. I found mm-hmm. that when I was working with clients, so entrepreneurs who want to grow their business, typical people I'm working with, and they would say, I would like, I would love, it'd be great, it'd be wonderful if I achieved this goal. That typically they didn't achieve the goal. Typically. So I started playing with that and go, okay, well, how do we shift this so they get to what they're calling a goal? Well, the first thing I did was I had them get rid of the word goal, because I have found, myself included, most goals, even for today, because you have goals for today, at the end of the day, you haven't achieved most of them. So I'm going, okay, this goal stuff doesn't work in our minds at all. So I only let people have targets and results, and they're committed. Now, once you become committed to something, now the word must is the only word you can use, because I must achieve X and Y time is a commitment. In the month of December, I got committed. I go to Orange Theory, so I'll just give them a free jump out. I was at Orange Theory this morning. I'll be at Orange Theory for a second session this afternoon. And I committed that I was going to go 30 days in a row. On the sixth day, the front desk said, you've already won. Nobody came 6 days in a row. I said, well, I'm going 30. I told everybody. I told my clients. I told everybody at Orange Theory. I told all the trainers. I was committed. Now, I got to be honest with you, because I went at the 6 o'clock session, which was also kind of early for me. I was learning to get up earlier. And if I had only said, oh, my gosh, it would be wonderful. Wouldn't I like to do that? It'd be so great. There were mornings, I got to be honest, I did not want to get up when the alarm went off at 5:45, right? Because I'd made a commitment, I did. So if you really want to change your identity, you must become committed to that outcome within the time frame, whatever it is, finishing the book, publishing the book, making it a bestseller, you know, selling X number of copies when it launches, whatever it is. And then you ask yourself, and typically for most clients I work with, there'll be about 5, no more than 7. Who must I become? And these are the kind of things, and I'm working with 7-8-figure entrepreneurs, and you're thinking, oh, well, they're already there. No, nobody's already there. Nobody's already at the next place. They're only at the place they're at. And they'll be like, oh, I must become more focused. I must become more bold, right? I must become an action taker. I must become more organized. These are the kind of things that 7- and 8-figure entrepreneurs are telling me on a regular basis. Those are the kind of things when you go, oh, then here's the final piece of this. For every one of those that you come up with for yourself, ask yourself, this is the critical. I want you to do this. How will I behave differently when I'm bold? Because you got to make it real. And you also have to tell yourself, oh, these are the actions I'm now going to be taking. Don't leave it like in La La Land. I want it very specific and result-oriented. And I tell you, if you'll do this and come up with about 5 or so of these, and then what's your behavior, and then you make a commitment to change your life, you will, at a 70 to 100% level, that's what I find people do, achieve that outcome that you want because you are committed to it, and then you make it your number one priority every day that you're working on that. You make it number one, and you know what? there are going to be things that you don't get done. You know what? They are not as important as your number one priority. That's why it's important to have a number one priority if you want to shift your identity. So that leads in to the performance mindset of possibility, because now that you're living in abundance, you're shifting your identity, the question becomes, what's possible for you? And all of a sudden, you open yourself up and you start asking yourself, well, what would I want to be possible? What would I want to achieve? And you start having what is a dream list, and then you go back and you get committed to that dream list because you make it part of your identity. You see how they're all interrelated. They're not separate. And then
what's it look like? So what does it look like? You know, that's the dream list.
Yes.
So what does that look
like? That's the dream list.
When I commit to these 5 to 7 goodies under my must list, and I can easily see transformation happening for people. The formula is really very simple, but it takes thinking and working and the magic C word, commitment. That's what I'm hearing, JV.
That is. And let's just take basic NLP and add it into this possibility list. You want to, what will I see? How will I feel? Now, there's really two feelings. One, how will I feel in my body and where will that be? Maybe there'll be a tingling or a lightness or something, but also what am I going to feel emotionally? And step into that emotion and then ask, what actions am I going to take? You know, this is what I'm seeing. Now, this is what I'm feeling. Here's the actions. And finally ask, what am I going to say to myself or what am I going to hear other people saying as I move forward in this new identity of possibility of getting what it is that I really want out of my life? Because I want you to know, if there's only one thing you take away from this, is that you're in charge of your destiny and you can get whatever you want. I grew up a little poor boy, and I'm building a business I plan to sell for $100 million, right? Why? Because I am clear about what I want, and I didn't like growing up a little poor boy because we didn't even have food all the time. Right? You can become anything
all right,
you
so
want
JV,
to become.
Hold that thought because we need to take another break. But this is really gold, people, what we're hearing, to move you toward the ultimate author success. And it's all about mindset. We'll be right back with JV Crum and more of the 7 Steps.
This is your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. With your host, Dr. Judith Briles. And we'll be right back with more great information right after these.
Discover the power of you and your book at the Judith Briles Unplugged events. Each summer, Judith Briles Book Marketing Unplugged unfolds over 3 intensive days working with just Judith. You get publishing strategies, author and book platforms, book marketing panache and pizzazz, and authoring tools to take you and your book to rock star success. In the fall and winter, Judith Briles Speaking Unplugged includes Judith as your coach and mentor during 2 powerful days. You will learn how to structure a speech, how to create openings and closings, how to find gigs that pay you and sell your books, and you will get one-on-one coaching. Go to thebookshepherd.com and click on the events tab to learn how to participate at the next Unplugged Workshop event.
Welcome back to your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. Coming up, you'll hear more about statistics, scenarios, and strategies on what to do now to get you published. So let's get back to the show. And here again is your host, Dr. Judith Briles.
Okay. We're back. Much more information. And JV has kind of set the stage for the seven performances for developing really your successful mindset. We started with abundance. We started with identity and the identity formula. And now we're going to jump into maybe step three, JV, or do we need anything more on identity?
We've talked about possibility, and I want to go next to visionary, but I want to go back to identity. And because it's so critical. It's the place that I find people, you know, you create a body of work and then you find that there's one place that you can get really fast movement with people. So it doesn't matter what level they're at. The identity piece really shifts people quickly. But I want to address the three fears because I've done this so much. I've noticed there are three exact fears that everybody has in making an identity shift for themselves. And folks, everything you want. If I'm working with a client for a year, every quarter we're going to do the identity shift because they've changed, what they want has changed, and therefore they must change again. The three fears are, one, letting go of who I currently am. Because you think that identity equals you, but no, it's just an identity. You is something very compared to just the identity. The identity, no matter how much you're attached to it, is not truly who you are, but it is holding you back from your next level. I guarantee you that. So the first fear is, I gotta let go of everything that's familiar to me. And that is scary. But I want you to know, the more you do this identity shift in your life, like every quarter you're like always shifting your identity, the less fear you'll have. So I just want you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. The second one is the fear of stepping into the new identity because, after all, you've never lived that. You don't know what it's going to be like. And so there is fear of that. But the third fear is one that most people don't really identify on their own. And that is the fear that, well, what if I step into this new identity and I don't get these new results I want? That's scary. So I think it's important with fear. I do not believe that fear is false evidence. I think fear is real. And I think the best way to get through fear is to acknowledge it and go, yeah, I'm afraid. Great. Now that you've acknowledged it, what would you like to do about that? Well, I really still want to become this new identity because I want to get these big results. Great. Then just allow yourself to acknowledge the fear, feel the fear, and just move through it. Because all the time you're spending trying to avoid the fear, you're just avoiding the feeling. And the moment you allow yourself to feel the fear and just accept it's true, is the moment you can penetrate that fear and just move on through it. So I think that's really important that you understand that there are three fears. They are real. But when you acknowledge them, you can move through them.
You know, JV, there's another subset of the fear factor is as this new you evolves, that it may not be a fit for going back to your first point, you got to let go of the familiar. You may be letting go of old friends, old connections.
Right.
And that's a true fear that people will come in. Maybe it's the fourth fear, but that coming in and people will, you know, naysay you, poo-poo you, you begin to have self-doubt yourself. Maybe I'm going wrong. I'm doing that. And then I think one of the delightful things, and you and I have had a long, and I should tell our listeners that I just had a recent knee replacement of a replacement that was 20 years old. And JV came down to just visit for an hour. And I think we spent over 3 hours together, JV. And,
I think we did start out with an hour, but it was about three.
Yeah, it was a delightful hour, reconnecting and doing that, and both realizing we had so evolved from when we first connected with each other, with our views, our philosophies, our practices, who we work with, and you do, and sometimes it's painful, listeners, sometimes it's painful do that letting go when you realize some of those old connections are no longer the right fit for the new you, and that's a fear, that's a fear.
It is true, and I have gone through that several times because I am a transformational expert, and that means that I'm always transforming. And what I have found, I've it's like how to handle this in a compassionate way, in a way that represents how I want to treat people. And as I've evolved, I've learned how to do it better. I can say I haven't always done it the best, because sometimes it's just painful conversations to have. But I've learned that, you know, allow someone to know where you're going now and find out, would they like to go on this journey with you? And I'm thinking about a friend. We got together and we talked it through. She was very, very negative, and I was becoming a lot more positive. And so her negativity was not working for me, because she was always reinterpreting my life with what was wrong with me, with everybody in my life. And I'm going, no, I don't want to look at it that way. And, you know, she said, if you really cared about me, you would want me to be in your life and you would accept that I'm just a negative person. And I said, I want positive people around me. I do care about you, but if you don't want to be positive, that's your choice, but I can't invite you to take the journey anymore because it's not good for me, right? And at least we were honest with each other. She wanted to stay negative, I wanted to become positive, and we didn't want to take a journey together anymore. But I think at least I gave her the option, would you like mm-hmm. to come along? This is where I'm headed.
Mm-hmm. That's bold. That's one of our bold statements that comes out, and you realize there are some people you're going to let go, or you need to really delete from your circle, and that has a little pain yep. sometimes to it. All right. So
the next one is visionary, and mm-hmm. we are all visionaries. Our visionary mindset for performance starts with our deeper inner purpose. And I think until you really connect with why am I on the planet? You know, I put it this way. You make up whatever story about how you got here. But I can guarantee you this story. You came here for a reason. And that reason is to make some kind of a difference. But it's also to experience something. You're not here just to be of service to other people. You're here also to be of service to your own journey. And when you understand that purpose at a deeper level, now it's like you're in a boat, but you have a rudder. And until you understand that purpose, which is the basis for your vision about your life, about your books, about the difference you want to make, about the business you want to build, about the nonprofits you want to support, about the people, you know, Judith and I were just talking about the people you really want in your life. That's the vision of why you're here and what it is that you want to be doing with this life. That's a visionary mindset. And I find that people who perform at their highest levels have a clear vision for their life, for their business, for their books, for everything that they're doing.
Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, people, how about taking out the magic board? Remember we used to get magazines and cut things out, what our dream things were going to be like and all that.
Oh yeah. I did that a lot.
Exactly. So who's on your people board? What people do you want in your life? Even people, you know, you have no connection with, but somehow you want them to come in and have an influencery factor. Who are they? Important question.
Well, and I think that, yeah, it's a very important question. And it's a very important question whether you have a podcast. I mean, Judith and I both have podcasts, and I'll say for myself, you know, I've done thousands of interviews, and wow, the big deal, I'm doing one in a couple hours, is the people I get to meet and get to become friends with and get to associate with. And then they know people they introduce me to, and I know people that I introduced them to. I mean, Judith, I just introduced her to someone who's been on my show, and I reached out and invited him back on my show because he's somebody I think will help every author, definitely, is that it becomes a very connecting field. But writing your book and putting it out in the world is also a way that you can connect with people, because you can always decide to choose someone that you would like to know and send them your book as a complimentary gift to them and say, I was thinking of you. I admire your work. You know, I'd love for you to have my book. Mm-hmm. Out of those kinds of contacts, some of them are going to hit. And it could change your life and the life of many people on this planet.
And the other thing on the visionary, there, besides, maybe you don't have a book yet. Maybe you're an author in waiting, or something. But there may be something that you could reach on a connection. Every once in a while, JV, I'll get out of the blue an envelope, a snail mail envelope, which I love, and from someone who has sent me an article saying, I was thinking of you and I thought you might like to see this. And it's always, you know, it's a great way to stay connected. Also, because of the internet, and when JV and I first started out, you know, the internet was as authors. What year did you first publish, JV?
How long ago? Publishing was 2014.
All right. So the internet was alive and well. I first started publishing in the 80s. The internet, it was not available.
It wasn't even a glimmer in anybody's eye, really.
Yeah, exactly. And but today, with the blog world and where you can just put somebody on the Google and put their name in and ask what their website is or what their blog is, you're able to follow them. You can sometimes make contacts. You can reach out. You can tag them. And you can come into connection. I mean, you want to talk about author success. This is one of the ways to really build like thinking, like-minded, and expand your world where you had never even thought about it. So that's part of the success quotient. And this is the visionary side that opens up unbelievable doors and windows to you that you just weren't available to me in the 80s and 90s when I was really pushing out a lot of books. So,
well, in the visionary part, it opens doors. You see how it's related to shifting your identity. You see how it's related to disruption. And if you're a writer, you might as well write something that's going to disrupt the world in a positive way. But visionary part of you is really what gives you direction. You know, I'm here on this planet to support the evolution of human beings to become a more higher conscious species and civilization. So that now becomes a litmus test for what I want to be involved in, what I want to publish, what I want on my podcast, who I want to work with, who I want to associate with. Are they moving in this direction? Is the activity moving in the direction that will be higher conscious where everyone can thrive, which is my heartthrob, or is it not? And if it isn't, then I don't want to waste my time on it because I know that's my vision. And when you are clear about your vision, crystal clear, it really becomes the number one criteria for a lot of your activities, a lot of your decisions in your life, your business, who you associate with, what you build, and what you write your next book about.
All right. And we're going to take our final break, and we'll be right back with JV's final thoughts.
This is your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. With your host, Dr. Judith Briles. And we'll be right back with more great information right after these.
Oh, what a night. Are you confused about publishing options? Do you know which printing option is best for your book? Does your stomach flip when you think about selling books? Or do you feel overwhelmed with what to do about book marketing and publicity? Get the answers and much more. Get them and from someone who knows publishing inside and out from both the traditional and independent sides how to make a successful book. You can't do it alone without paying the price. You can spend your money creating a book that turns out to be so-so. Or you can create a book that looks and feels classy, builds your brand and platform, and is a success, a bestseller. It is your choice. You choose. If you want author and publishing success, you want Judith Briles as your book coach. Sign up for her weekly blogs and e-zine at thebookshepherd.com. The book shepherding concept is simple. The publishing world is changing, and so must you. You need an experienced shepherd and guide to collaborate with you as you create, strategize, develop, publish, and achieve your publishing goals. Publishing is riddled with obstacles, sometimes nightmares for the author, You do not need more problems. You want solutions. Dr. Judith Riles will shepherd you through the maze and chaos. At times, she has had to step in and rescue a book that has been sabotaged by a publisher, by a publishing service provider, and sometimes even by the author. If you want author and book success, connect with her today at thebookshepherd.com.
Welcome back to Your Guide to Book Publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. If you want to write and publish a book, if you want to be successful as an author, Your Guide to Book Publishing, Everything You Want to Know But Didn't Know What to Ask, is for you. Stay tuned and you'll hear about statistics, scenarios, and strategies on what to do now to get you published. So let's get back to the show. And here again is your host, Dr. Judith Riles.
All right, so with us is J.V. Crum. He is the author of the international bestseller, The Conscious Millionaire. We do want to let you know, if you would like a sneak peek of the book, there's a couple of ways that you can do that, that you can certainly buy the book, but you can go to consciousmillionaire.com/free book. And pick up a bunch of the chapters right there. If you are on Amazon's Kindle Unlimited program, JV, are you in that? Is your book available through the Kindle?
It is.
Okay. So if you're in the club of 4 million people on Amazon for Kindle Unlimited, you can grab the whole book for free. So how hot is that? Sounds like a millionaire right. Most.
And I want to give you a couple of chapters.
Go ahead.
Oh, there are 14 chapters. I want to suggest that you start with chapters 7 and 8. 7 is really all my work on flow. We're going to cover that in part 2. But chapter 8 is all about abundance mindset. So I think if you read those two chapters initially, that there would be great benefit to you.
Okay, so chapter 7 and 8 are flow and abundance. All right. So one of the things we had planned on this to be just one show, but there is so much frickin' information from this man that what we're going to do is make this part one and part two. And part two, we will really concentrate on the money flow and awakening mindset. So what this is in our final, few minutes, we're going to come back and revisit some of these first four elements of the abundance, the identity, the possibility, and visionary to kind of set you up for next week as we do this again with J.V. Crum and the author of The Conscious Millionaire. So, J.V., let's go back and kiss on some of the things. I mean, I've got 2 pages of notes. I'll always tell my guests, this is a conversation between you and me. I'm aware of your work. I'm aware of you, which is certainly in this case is truthiness. And that I just want to be able to pay attention to what they're saying. And I'm looking for the gold nuggets, that come out. And, I've got several items that are starred. One of them, and I'm going to come back to the very beginning where JV is one of these entities called the transformational expert, but stop thinking life is about scarcity. You've got to step in to thinking that you and your life is about abundance. I so love that, JV, in reminding us, because, get rid of any Eeyore that is flowing through you. I'm a Tigger type of girl. In fact, I wear a Tigger wristwatch, JV. I love Tigger.
Well, I want to go back and I want to go deeper. I didn't bring this up the first time. I kind of hinted on it, but I didn't really bring it out. Is we are right now living in a world based on two different reality systems. The vast majority of the world, the vast majority of what's been written, how most people live, how people build business is based on this scarcity model, that there's not enough. And then there's a conscious model of reality that's all based on this abundance, But it's not an abundance belief. That's what I want to come back to. It's an abundance experience. And the moment you do and you get into that experience, which requires you to go to higher levels of your mind and connect with this field. Now, you may call it quantum field or conscious field or infinite field, you know, intelligence field. We're all talking about the same thing. And it's when you let go and become a part of this field of abundance that you literally start vibrating at a different level. You are going into higher levels of your mind that go beyond belief. They're all just vibrational levels. And when you go into those, you get all kinds of inspiration. And then when you come back into this world that we're living in, that where we talk to each other, you bring those vibrational inspirations into words. And as an author, this is such an important part of being an author, is to get into those higher states of awareness of your mind, of intelligence, and bring it back. And all of a sudden, you're inspired, and you're inspired with abundant ideas, abundant foresight, abundant possibilities, an abundant identity, and an abundant vision of what can be true for you and the world. And what better way to use your skill and your calling, because I think being an author is a calling. I think we're all called to bring a message that's inside of us. You know, you were saying a little bit earlier about the author that's not quite yet, and I'm thinking maybe we could also think of it as we're all pregnant with a message. It's just, when is the time you're going to bring your message forward? I think every person on this planet has a message that could be a book that could inspire and uplift other human beings on this planet.
When is the time? You know, I want to kiss on also this scarcity, where it has, because the scarcity ties in the fears. And when I look at, you talk about the two worlds we live in, JV, the scarcity and one of the abundance experience, because I love that phrase, that the scarcity, what I see a lot of people do, and I don't want to get into heavy duty politics, but by God, it is all about introducing the fear of scarcity and I see it everywhere. Everywhere today.
Well, and this relates to coming back again to abundance. Scarcity mm-hmm. is a very low vibration. Abundance yes. is a very high vibration. And when you're in a higher vibration, you simply have more possibilities at hand, because you're not living in fear, you're living in possibility. That possibility is the opposite of living in fear. When you're in fear, you are cutting off your possibilities, including the possible message that's within you, right? But when you move into this experience, and just imagine every day when you got up in the morning, you took just a few moments to just be and allow yourself to feel abundant. I have a gratitude journal I write. 5 minutes, I have an iPhone. I set my iPhone for 5 minutes. It's already preset. I hit the button. And I just start, and here's how I write my gratitude journal. Every sentence, and this is years of how I write it, every sentence begins with the words, I am grateful for. And I never worry about what I'm going to say, and all of a sudden it just flows. You know, I am grateful that I'm sitting in a chair. I am grateful I've got air conditioning and heating. I am grateful I have food in my refrigerator. And the more I do that, I become grateful for the clients that are coming. I become mm-hmm. grateful for all the people that I know, and I start writing about them. I am grateful for Judith Bryles, right? I am grateful that I have a book. I just write about it for 5 minutes, and I can say in only 5 minutes, my personal state reaches a much higher level of vibration and abundance.
Mm-hmm. And you feel good. And I'll tell you, when I do that mentally, but I'm going to start writing it. I do that mentally every day, and I have a hot mug of tea by my side, and I sit into yep. my big overstuffed purple chair, and I just kind of, it's a relax, you know, and that's how I start my morning. And sometimes I'm grateful for the amazing sunrise I see coming up, which I am a sunrise girl. So I always have that in mind.
Well, and I'm not going to tell you where Judith lived, but I can tell you you'll know her house when you see it because it has a purple door.
Yes, it does.
Had a purple door for as long as I've known you.
And that is also true. And it has, you know, in the entryway, we had the little, I don't know what they call them, but there's a tall vertical window that had something, it had opaque glass. And I took it all out and it has, I had artwork done and it is a tall purple tulip. That's
oh, wow.
At my front door by the purple door.
You do have the purple door.
I do have the purple
door. I want to encourage you between now and part two to take that identity formula, who must I become to achieve X in Y time? And I'm going to give you a challenge. I want you to choose an X that's bold for you, that's really big, that requires you to step out of your normal way of thinking about your future and think about your future in extraordinary terms, because anything is possible and you're the one who gets to choose what happens. You are not a victim at all. You are the one at cause. So if you're going to be at cause, you're going to put your time and energy into something. I'm just saying you might as well put it into something big. Why put it into something little? And I guarantee you it is, because I work with entrepreneurs who are really, many times they're going for, they want more money. It is easier to have a big outcome that you're committed to than a small one, because you're more excited about it. You're more motivated about it. You're more attracted to it. And if you want to build the team around you, they're going to be more excited about a big outcome than a little one. Everything conspires when you think in big terms.
I love thinking in big terms. And as we close up here, I want you all to think between now and next week, when you think of this, your bold X, whatever it is, can you be a disruptor with it? You know, I've been a disruptor almost all my life, not knowing what even that word was. JV is a disruptor. What can you do with your words, your wisdom, your vision, and maybe become a disruptor too? With that, JV, thank you so much. I look forward to being with you again next week.
Thank you very much. And listen, best to everyone. Become your biggest self possible. Create an identity that goes with something big.
And we'll say that. Thank you all for spending your hour with JV Crum and myself. We'll see you next week for part two.
Thank you for being a part of Your Guide to Book Publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. With your host, Dr. Judith.